Do you sometimes feel like there is so much you're being told as a homeschool mom of what not to do? And I feel like I'm a little guilty of that. But I have really good intentions about saying, stay away from this, such as in episode 239, which was a great episode and really good things to say, like, probably maybe work on ditching some of these so that you can get to a better day. And I told you then, I'm guilty of those things too. Those are all good things to avoid. But today, let's pep it up a little bit, and we're going to focus on three things for you to do every homeschool day to make it a really good day. Welcome to Little by Little Homeschool Podcast, where you'll learn tips and strategies that will empower you to home educate your children. I'm Lee Nguyen, a homeschool mom of over 12 years, which includes two graduates. When I started homeschooling, I was pretty much on my own and was desperate for encouragement and help. My mission is to be a source of encouragement and help to you. Whether you are just beginning your homeschool journey or you're deep into the homeschool lifestyle, Little by Little Homeschool wants to help you stay the course, because all the time you are investing into your children is completely worth it. If you're ready to take your homeschool to new levels, keep listening. Right now, this day, today, in this moment, are you feeling stressed and upset because you thought that this would be the year? You said to yourself, this is my homeschool year. It's going to be a great homeschool experience. But you're realizing that the homeschool year, it's almost done at this point, and you don't think you did enough. Your kids don't seem motivated or interested in education. You have doubts. Is this homeschooling thing really going to turn out okay? And you're just stuck in a cycle. This cycle might be the one of recreating the school at home. It might be that you've created a homeschool, but you're just doing the same thing year in, year out, and wondering if there's something better because it just has become such a routine. There's no life really left to it. Friend, I want to invite you to participate in Clarify Your Homeschool. Where, as one homeschool mom recently put it, she said she now feels that she has a daily rhythm that feels attainable for her family. And I desperately want the same thing for you. You can find out more information at clarifyyourhomeschool.com. And I promise you, you can salvage the rest of this year and you can walk into the next homeschool year feeling so good and actually getting to this point a year from now. Imagine how that would feel saying, I'm not upset with this year. This was the year. It was a good year. One where you created the homeschool that is perfect for your family. You broke some of those chains of indoctrination that when it comes to the school system, you did de-schooling, your kids did de-schooling, and you have found your groove. That we're going to do together in Clarify Your Homeschool. So again, go to clarifyyourhomeschool.com or check out the link in the show notes. I am not a huge fan of rules without reasons. If you're going to give me a rule, I want to know what the reason is. I am much more apt to follow those rules. And I kind of have a sneaking suspicion you might be the same way. We see the same thing with our kids. Now, sometimes there are rules and there are things, and there are sometimes times that we have to say, no, don't do that. Don't run across the road. Don't grab that pot handle off of the stove. And we don't need to give rules right then. But there should be a context of rules beforehand saying, hey, we don't reach up and grab things off the top of the stove. Hey, we don't run out into traffic because this is going to happen. And so giving reasons for those rules, those parameters, those guardrails, they help me. I have a feeling that it helps you, and it definitely helps your children as well. So today, we're going to talk about three things that I would really love for you to think about and add to your day as a stay-at-home homeschool mom. But these aren't necessarily rules, things that you have to. I want you to listen to them and see how does this look in your life, in your home. So these aren't rules, but I'm definitely going to back them up with some reasons. The first thing that I want you to consider adding into your day, and I'm going to preface this with the fact that this is going to sound so cliche. You are going to say, Lee, I've read that in every single parenting and homeschool book. I've seen that in numerous videos, on podcasts, in blog posts, everywhere. But I think there's a reason why you keep running into this, and I am just going to reiterate it again so it sticks in your mind, because this is something that I need to be reminded still of now when it comes to being home with my kids. And so the first thing I want you to think about incorporating into your days is to connect with each one of your children. It doesn't matter if you have one child, you have five, you have 25. Try and connect with each child every single day. Now, this could also, you might have, think about the fact that some of you might have kids that are no longer living under your roof, and so it might not always be easy. So let's just start off with there and just say, if you have kids that are outside of your home, that could mean a simple text message. But maybe they don't want to hear from you every single day. I know that sometimes they want a little bit of space. They're like, oh, mom, and that's okay. Today, we're going to focus on the children that are living in your home. They're under your roof right now. Whether this is a baby or this is a teen or young adult, connect with each child every day. This can either be done in a one-on-one way where it's just you and that child, or it can be one-on-one with that child amongst their siblings and the rest of the family. That is still the same. It doesn't matter. You don't have to take the child away from everybody else and to just talk to them, just them by themselves and you, just the two of you. It's okay to do it among the family. When our kids are so used to being in sibling group and being with the family, it's not a big deal for them to have some moments where they are connecting with you amongst their brothers and sisters that are around. So it's okay to be in a one-on-one, just alone, or in a one-on-one in a group setting. Get eye to eye with this child. Now, it doesn't mean that you are, you know, a couple inches, your eyeballs are apart from each other, but really get down to their level or pick them up to your level. And even if maybe that doesn't fit in that moment right then, look down at them and connect with them and let them know. When you look at them and you look at their face, you look into their eyes, they know mom is listening. But then follow that up with really listening. A lot of times our kids will come to us and they'll just start talking. There isn't a, hello, mother, I would like to share something with you. That doesn't happen very much unless you have maybe teens or young adults and it is a serious conversation. Then you're like, oh boy, here we go. I think we might need to go into another room and have some privacy for this conversation because we don't know where it's going to go. But most of the time they just come in and just start talking to you about things. You could be sitting there reading a book. You could be washing the dishes, doing the laundry. You could be taking care of another child. You could be homeschooling another child. And they will just start talking to you about whatever is on their mind. Really listen. I heard it said many, many years ago that if you want your teen, your young adult to talk to you about what's going on in their life, and at that time, things really do get big. There is big decisions to make. And it doesn't mean that little decisions or the decisions when kids are little don't impact the rest of their life. They can. But when it comes to teens and young adults, when they are driving on their own, when they have friends that they're driving to, they have jobs they're going to, they're looking to move out of the house, they're looking to take jobs, there's a lot of things. There's relationships that they're considering getting into. If you want them to come to you for those big things, you need to start when they're younger. Because the four-year-old that comes in to tell you about a bug that he found, that's important to him. That bug is so important to that child right then. If you want your 20-year-old to tell you about a maybe special someone that they met and that they're considering possibly pursuing a dating relationship with, if you listen to them about the bug when they're four and all the years in between, they're going to come to you then. Now, it's not a guaranteed that this is definitely going to work. But if you want your kids to share with you when they are older, you have to listen to them when they are younger because it's a big thing to them then. That bug is a big deal. And whatever it is, maybe the sibling that said something that wasn't very nice to them, they want to know that you are listening to them. So really listen to them. If you are on your phone, put it aside. If you are in the middle of doing something, put it aside. Just today, I had my 16-year-old come to me. He was had his afternoons are pretty much free for him right now. That he can pursue hobbies, he goes and works out, he just does different things. He fills it up with really good time, really good things in that time. And I was working on a little painting project, just touching up some paint and stuff in my house that I've been procrastinating on. I told myself I was going to get it done this by a certain date, and I am really pushing up against that deadline. I've been saying this to myself for 2 years, so this is, I set my parameter. Anyway, here I am doing this project, and he comes up to talk to me. And my inclination is sometimes to continue painting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep, yep, that's great, yep, that's great. Like, nope, put the paintbrush down. I turned towards him and listened to him, and we had a conversation, and it did not last forever. Now, sometimes they come up to you, and these conversations can last a long time. We have to realize that the thing that we are doing, yeah, it's important, but it's not more important than them. So really listen to them. I know your day is full. It is very full. There's a lot going on. You have a lot to do in order to keep your family moving forward when it comes to motherhood and homemaking and education. But the seconds or the minutes that it will take for you to really listen to them, to really connect with them, to ask them questions and to follow up, and for them to really know that you are taking in and you're interested in what they're saying, it will fill their hearts up so much. And you know what it'll also do? It'll fill your heart up as well. Just think of those times where you have brushed your children off when they have come to you to talk to you about something. How do you feel afterwards? Not so great. But when you stop, you put the paintbrush down, you put the phone down, you put the dishes down, you put the laundry down, maybe sit down and you look at them and maybe grab their hand, touch them in some way, and really listen to what they're saying. How do you feel after that moment? You feel really good. That painting project, those dishes, the laundry, that is so inconsequential at that time. So the first thing that I would like for you to add to your day and every single day is to connect with your child. The second thing is to take some time for you to breathe. Don't fill every moment. Take a seat. Maybe it's inside. Maybe it's taking a seat outside if the weather is nice. Maybe it's in the car, in between dropping off kids. Maybe you find yourself in the car alone for a few moments. Maybe you're not alone. But if you're not alone, I feel like you probably at this point, I can do all kinds of things in the midst of some chaos. I can even now, my kids are older, and I can go somewhere and there's little kids and someone will say, oh, I'm really sorry, are they disturbing you? I'm like, oh no, I didn't even notice them. If they are not yelling for mom and it's not a voice that I recognize, then I'm not paying attention. Now, again, if your child is suddenly injured and screaming or there's some type of danger, I will respond to that. But them playing and having fun, that doesn't bother me at all. So I know that you can concentrate and take a moment to breathe, even in the midst of whatever is going around you. So you can take this moment to breathe with your kids around, or maybe without your kids around. Maybe it's nap time and some quiet afternoon time. You can take some moments to breathe. You can use that time just to sit there. Sometimes just close your eyes, maybe with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or just nothing. You don't have to have something to drink in your hands, but just to sit. Maybe it's time that you take to pray. Taking time to read your Bible and other encouraging books. Just taking this time to breathe really can nurture your heart. It can help our nervous system, help you maybe move from the sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system, where you just are taking, you just all the cortisol maybe kind of starts to come down and you just take a moment to breathe and to concentrate. I love to do this, especially outside, because there's something just so invigorating about the outdoors and just feeling like when you're outside, you can forget the cares of the world. And maybe at some moments you can step outside, you know the kids are okay inside, and just breathe. Look at the trees, listen to the birds. And this sounds like such like a thing that old people do. And I've seen this on social media where like, I'm in my bird watching phase of life or something, and I think I might be entering that here at this point, because I kind of find birds a little bit more fascinating than I thought that they really were. But just take some time to breathe. It might not happen until the end of the day. And you say to yourself, oh, I've got this to do, this to do, this to do, and the kids are in bed. It's okay. Just take some time. Maybe it's right before you go to bed. It's just sitting there. Just put your hand on your heart and just take some moments to breathe and to think about the day and think about the times that you connected with your kids that day, but just stop and breathe and remember that you are a person. You are an amazing woman. You're created in the image of God, and just take that time to just be. Okay? I know that's a hard one, to just be. And that time, it might last a minute, 2 minutes, maybe it even lasts 10 to 15 minutes. That would be glorious, right? Okay, number three here. This one is a little bit not as passive or not as sedentary, we'll say, as number two. But number three is to do one thing, at least one thing. We're just going to start with one here, okay? But do one thing that you are procrastinating on. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what it is. Maybe it's a phone call you need to make. Maybe it is an appointment you need to set up. Maybe you need to research something. Maybe you need to do your taxes. It's about that time. Maybe it's a decision that you have to make. Maybe it's a hard conversation. Maybe it's something that you need to clean, or maybe it's straightening up something, or maybe it is decluttering something, or maybe it's some type of project, like I mentioned earlier, some type of painting project that I had been putting off for a couple years. And I decided, no, today is the day that I am going to do this one thing that I am procrastinating on. Maybe it's a homeschool lesson, or maybe it's a curriculum or a resource that you have purchased or you have been given, and you're looking at it, you're saying, this looks so complicated. I don't know how to figure out how to implement this in my family, with my kids. Take some time. Maybe that's the thing you're procrastinating on, is sitting down and actually going through that. Maybe it's something that you need to read or you want to read, but you've been procrastinating. Maybe it is, I guess I could just go on forever and ever about things you're procrastinating on, because I know that you know. Maybe what you need to do is write down that list of things that you are procrastinating on, and each day, just do one of them. Can you imagine how good you'd feel at the end of the day? I know for myself, I tend to procrastinate making things like phone calls, appointments, and that kind of stuff. I just, like, can't I text you about this? Come on, like whatever the office is, or I need to get some estimates to have some tree work done at our place. And I'm like, can I just text you and give you my address and we can just go that way? But no, I have to stop and make a phone call and do that. I know that you have things like that on your list as well. So just do that one thing that you're procrastinating on. The goal here is to get to the end of the day and say to yourself, I took time and I connected with each one of my children, and I feel like I really filled up their cup there, and that filled me up too. The second thing was to take time to breathe, just taking a moment and just being a person, just being a woman, just being you, and remembering that you are a person. And the third thing is to do that one thing that you are procrastinating on. Imagine at the end of the day how good you would feel. Now, I know all of these aren't necessarily homeschool and education and curriculum and the rigorous study and everything, but homeschool is an entire lifestyle. That's the way it's meant to be. We are meant to live with our kids. We are meant to have them see how we live. We are meant to create a family rhythm and to live together in these moments and the tensions of what's going on and the ages of kids and watching everybody grow and mature and to do that together. Homeschooling is a lifestyle. It is not something that we put into a box and say, we are doing our curriculum this time and this time. Now, that's okay to say that and to do that. There is time to do that. But education just completely happens. And in the middle of education, the middle of the math lesson, you might actually have some type of character building lesson, or somebody asks a question and you take some trail that follows way off of math, and but you're able to like really pour into your kids at that time. Homeschooling allows us to pour into our children, but I also want you to take some time to do a couple of other things and to fill up yourself as well. So yes, these things, they have to do with homeschooling, with the lifestyle, but maybe not necessarily what a lot of people think of when they think of homeschool. They just think of you sitting there at a desk and lectures and lots of textbooks, and your homeschool might not look anything like that. And that's okay. Your homeschool might look a little bit like that, and that's okay too, as long as you are doing homeschool the way that suits your family best. You are struggling with the fact that your homeschool doesn't reflect your family values, why you're homeschooling, what you're trying to do, what your vision is, what your goals are for it, that's where Clarifier Homeschool is going to come in. And we are going to work through those along with a lot of other things. We're going to focus on the things that you need to do to succeed in your homeschool and to succeed in your homeschool lifestyle, as well as your motherhood. You can get all the details at clarifierhomeschool.com. And until next time, have a great day. Thank you for listening, friend. I'd love to connect with you more. You can find social media links in the show notes and share this episode with a friend who could use a boost to her homeschool. See you back here real soon.